Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Masayo ain't playing no wiggles. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or barely the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinity Tobago, I'm spitting these words so all Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego.
Woo.
From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Fuego. Brother, you don't want that
fuego.
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 Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shalom. Happy Sabbath, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, Soldier Kepha.
Soldier Kepha's in the house.
I'm back, guys. I'm back.
Oh.
Kepha is back.
Guess who's back?
It's been a while.
Has been a while. But that's a good sign, right? That means we got enough men for the rotation now. And yeah. Praise to the Most High. So, you know, continuing on with kind of the same, you know, we're going into, you know, we go through cycles, right? We'll do news things.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do history. We'll do, you know, current events on specific aspects of things. So I'm still kind of going on a little bit about the history and different things that's going on so that we can understand the different policies that oppress Latin America, so-called Latin America, Central Latin America, the Caribbean, where the bulk of Northern Kingdom is, right? We say bulk because we know there's remnant everywhere. You can find all Israel kind of scattered all over the world, different parts. So I'm going to refer to a few things. I'm actually going to read a transcript of an interview, kind of reinforcing the death squad and economic policies that the U.S. has had in Central and South America. We're going to talk a little bit more about the impact of free trade, a few pages that I want to read from the book that we've been working on over the past few weeks, The Harvest of Empire. And then we'll see where it takes us from there. So, you know, we're only running the show about an hour today, so we'll see where it takes us and where we go. I'm going to post some links. So today's topic is titled Oppression of the Poor, More Effects of U.S. Trade Policy on Latin America. While I post some links, if you want to just...
Yes, sir. Let me get Ezekiel 37, verse 19. All right, just like the captain said, sometimes we touch on different topics, right, current events, things that are going on in the news, to increase people's faith to understand that this book is not just a book that was relative for back then, but it's also very, very, very real today in these times. Read that real quick.
Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 19. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the sticks of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand.
So, the stick of Joseph is referring to the northern kingdom of Israel, right? The 10 tribes of Israel that came to this side of the earth, right? During the BCs after we were released from the Persian Median captivity. And the stick of Judah is referring to the southern kingdom of Israel, who we know today as the blacks, West Indian, Haitian, so on and so forth. But the point I'm bringing this out is that for a while, we were cast away from the kingdom. We were separated as a nation. The prophecy was that we would no longer be separated as two different kingdoms, but we would be together as one stick. And I go here because going into the history about so-called Latin America, because a lot of people like to discredit as the Northern Kingdom being Hispanic or Native American. And that's due to the whole crafty council of Psalms 3 about separating them and everything else. That's what that is. That is so many people say within our own community that discredits Gad, no, they don't. Mexicans haven't been through what we've been through, and Hurries haven't been through what we've been through, or they really have. It's just not just like that, because that's the crafty council that East Roman nation is against. So we're coming back together as one nation. Maybe Roman nation versus Roman. There's a lot more documentation and history that you can go look over and research that actually
prove
that the Northern more indeed the Hispanic Native American. Get the hate out your heart.
Right.
The hand in hand. That's what it is. Listen.
All tribes are going to be one of the people.
Right. One third of the nation. Can't get there. It's just not every Jew. Right.
As a special
Jew. Not everyone is Jewish. It's not 100,000 Jews being raised.
Okay.
But read that. Romans chapter 11, verse 11.
And that,
knowing the time.
Now,
high time.
People wait
out of sleep.
For now
is our
salvation
nearer
than when
we look at somebody.
Tell me.
Hey, what's new?
Tell me.
Right.
And he was talking about
as far as
this truth. That's the same.
We're paying.
So it's
time for people
that we can sleep, and then
we can
sleep
in
captivity.
And
it says,
our
salvation
is nearer than
even our
inspiration.
All 12
tribes of Israel.
It's just our
responsibility
to be
the master
of our people.
Deliver
this gospel.
Pray.
That's why I love
when you
know the
King
of history.
I love that.
Because
it just
totally
discredits
every
native
that people have
saved.
And
try
actually
being
the
Latin
and Native American people.
Yes, I'm guessing, Jeff.
You can't do nothing against the chore
that's
true.
People think we're only talking about the conquistadors when we talk about oppression.
and we don't see the modern version of that, right?
Yeah, give me Psalms 55:20. Now, we bring out this scripture according to, like I said, the conquistadors or them coming against the so-called Native Americans with treaties and stuff. But spiritually, you got to look at it today, the treaties, the policies that they're putting up right now that are against our people. Read that.
The book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant.
So they break their covenants. How are they breaking their covenants? Because those laws only apply to them. God forbid if it's a so-called black man, Hispanic, or Native American, they don't get that equal justice that the so-called white man or these other nationalities would get. The same thing what's going on at the border. They're taking their kids. You don't see a bunch of white kids up in there lining up trying to get into concentration camps or a bunch of Japs or Asians. It's our people. They're breaking the covenant. Read.
The words of his mouth were smoother than butter.
Because the treaties are smooth. The treaties sound good. They make you feel good. Like, you know, we all have a chance here in America. We're all one together. They're smooth. Read.
But war was in his heart.
But war was in his heart. That's war against our people. Read.
His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords.
Yet we're being killed in the street, yet there's nothing going on for our people. We have no justice in our communities. That's why we are broken as a people, because their bonds are against us. All those bonds and treaties are only pertaining to their people,
That's
not
right.
us.
That's right. It's not just Esau, it's the Japs too, right?
It's the Japs. The Japanese. Exactly.
He said the Japs, man.
It's the Japs too. You can't forget the Japs.
Hey, and on that same vein, you have to understand something with a lot of these policies. That's a great one because that shows about all the different treaties and covenants that they do break and change and they don't honor. But give me Psalms 94:20 because for me, this more clearly aligns with the economic policy that they've done, where the whole thing was mischievous. It was a self-serving type of diplomacy, so to speak, that they put forth. And in reality, it was really designed to benefit them under the guise of
right.
helping these countries out, right? So go ahead, read that.
Psalms 94, verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee?
And make no mistake about it, starting with the United States and all these other countries, anything that's contrary to the scriptures and how the scripture tells us to live, that's a throne of iniquity. But the throne of it, right, the throne of it is here in the United States. It says, should the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? I mean, the short answer is no, but read on. This is the characteristic of them. Go ahead.
Which frameth mischief by a law.
And their intent is to be mischievous, right, to be deceptive in the policies that they put in place. Listen, especially when it comes to global stuff, nobody's going to do anything out of the goodness of their heart. There has to be some benefit to what's being done.
That's
right.
Right.
I mean, even if, you know, I used to take philosophy class and stuff like that, and, you know, people say, you know, people don't really do things because they want to be good people. Even if it's at its basic core, people do it because the feeling that they get from doing something nice.
Did you take that course when you're getting your finance degree?
Oh, yeah. No, my accounting.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, I'm an accountant to some people. I am not.
Boom.
I'm not.
That's hilarious.
I have
that
one degree,
funny.
And it's not in accounting. Okay. Anyway. Hey, we got to be careful when you say degrees. People are going to say we're Masonic. Let me throw up a sign when you say that.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, let me throw up a sign.
Simple.
Oh, my goodness. So it says they frame of mischief by law. And we're going to see that with a lot of these policies, right? Let me get Psalms 54 and 3 because, right, the title is oppression. And then I'm going to read some of these articles.
This is Psalms chapter 54, verse 3. For strangers are risen up against me.
Right. So strangers are risen up against our people. All right. Strangers. Go ahead.
And oppressors seek after my soul.
Come on.
They have not set God before them. Salah.
Right. And you know, going back historically, they have set God before them, but not the true God. Right. They put that white image, Caesar Borgia. We had to worship that upon pain of death when we came over here. But understand that strangers are risen up against us. You got something?
Yeah. I want to get the precept for that real quick.
Go ahead.
Give me Saint Psalms 86, verse 14. Psalms 86, verse 14. Just precept what this is saying perfectly.
Psalms chapter 86, verse 14. Oh, God. The proud are risen against me.
So it says the proud, all right? The scripture says that the pride in thy heart has deceived thee, referring to Esau, which the world so ignorantly calls the Caucasian race. They are a proud people. Why? Because they have the whole world in derision, and they rule everything. But read on.
And the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set them before them.
It says violent men. Why? Because the blessing that was given to Esau from his father in the very beginning was what? That by a sword that he would capture all these nations. He doesn't go in there peacefully. It was through violence, but now it's done subtly through all these embargoes, treaties, and covenants now here in these last days.
Right.
Right, right. Give me Psalms 55, and let's start at 3.
Let's just bring out Psalms.
Psalms chapter 55, verse 3.
Good,
because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me.
And in wrath they hate me. Hold Psalms 55. Let me get Deuteronomy 28 and 37. All right. The day that it's speaking about is all nations. All
right. Right.
It's not just, you know, one particular nation, one particular person. It's all nations. All right. Read this.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37. And thou shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword.
Hey, listen, we've gone through numerous things, human zoos, the curios that we were as they took us in captivity back to different parts of Europe, even different parts of this region as they carried us abroad. But largely when they brought us back to Spain and Europe, even to parts of Asia, we were sold as an oddity. We were sold as curios. You know, let's dress them up in our garb and let's see how they look, you know, in European fashion and things like that. Right. Go ahead. Read on.
Among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee.
It says, among all nations, we will be. A proverb is these hateful words, these terms, all right? A byword, being called something outside of what your true nationality is. So Indians, savages.
Right.
Even up to today with our last names, okay? Unless you're of, you know, Caucasian descent or Asians. Even Arabs, if you think about it, they... They, most nations, their last names are reflective of their heritage.
That's right.
Ours are not. All right. It's a testament to this day of that we were once in captivity, because, you know, we didn't have Smith, John Well, right?
Comas,
you know, any of these names, Rodriguez, Gonzalez,
Venezuela,
right? None of this stuff. Okay.
that's right.
None of these names were names of us. But, you know, you look at the other nations and you look at their last names, and it's a testament that, hey, ha-ha, we have our history. We can trace ours back.
Right.
I mean, a lot of it's lies, especially when it comes to Esau. They try to maintain themselves as, you know, so many different people. Like, they everybody historically. You know what I'm saying?
There was somebody at camp one time, and then so he's looking at the sign, and he says, you know, like, we're Caucasians. And he said, well, they don't pertain to the 12 tribes of Israel, but they do have a place in the Bible. And then we're like, where do you come from? This dude said, oh, well, my ancestors come from Scotland, but from the lineage of such and such, of the house of this, and the tribe of this, and the village of this. Like, he knew, like, everything. Whoa. down to a T.
Yeah. Yeah.
They search out iniquity.
And I was like, yo, wow, that's like, deep. We can barely trace back two generations, let alone... Like he knew his pedigree to the T, bro.
Dang.
That's because they know their history.
Right.
We don't know ours.
Right. And once upon a time, yeah, I like that you use pedigree because the scripture uses that. Once upon a time, we had our pedigrees, mm-hmm. and we knew and we were able to trace it back. I mean, clearly, look in the New Testament, not even the Old. When you read Matthew, right, it gives you the lineage of Christ.
Right.
So it gives you his pedigree, which goes to show you that he came from an earthly father. All right. Not this... Immaculate conception,
no
spiritual semen, you know. I mean, I know we joke sometimes. You put the video, you know, that video of that woman when she talk about the D-I-C-K is good.
Yeah.
You know, some people might be like, no, but I've had some spiritual semen. But listen, seriously, there's no such thing. All right, it all comes by the seed, and you have those pedigrees, and we don't have that. All right, this is part of the oppression. All right, go back to Psalms 55 and 3 and read that again.
Psalms chapter 55, verse 3, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked.
And listen, the voice is not just him speaking, you know, like we're speaking here. His voice is all the outlets in that he pushes this out. You were saying school system, all right? That's his voice.
Right.
You're indoctrinated from a young age in these type of things. The religions, okay?
democracy and the two-party political system, and especially democracy. I want you to think about democracy, because when I start to read, that's always their guise to go in somewhere, is under the guise of democracy. We want to bring and promote democracy to this place.
That's right.
And as if democracy is the gold standard in the world, as if it's the only way for a government to run. Because let's get past that. That's not their real motivation and mm-hmm. what comes with democracy, right? It's like any medication has a side effect to it, right? It's going to better than this, but it's going to get worse than this and when you're on it. And then maybe you need another pill to deal with those side effects, so on and so forth.
Right.
Democracy comes with a lot of things behind it, which is why you have these countries in the Middle East that fight against it. You know, you have some more of what they call third world countries that fight against these type of democratic things, because what they understand is that the United States democracy comes with many more hidden things in it. It's like when they pass bills in Congress, right? Everybody was talking about I'm going to give one that's very familiar, the Affordable Care Act. Within that bill, all right, within that act, first of all, it's like this many pages if you were to print it or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was not just about healthcare. It doesn't take this much to do healthcare.
Right.
They always squeezing in other little things when they pass these packages and these things for approval. Right. And you have to understand that. So their democracy is it comes under the guise of something good, but there's more that comes with it. And a lot of people don't consider that. And a lot of these countries and leaders don't. I mean, there's just such a different dynamic to this thing. But democracy is part of what? The voice of the enemy. Because with that comes all types of changes that will make it seem like you're the one that's wrong. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like going with the status. If you go against the status quo, then you're wrong. And democracy now is like the flavor for the past, like, you know, 100 years. You know, it's like, hey, we're gonna say it under democracy, and this is how we're doing it.
Yep.
And it's not really a true democracy either, right? I mean, I don't want to get too political as far as like a politics class, but you know, you have a republic and then you have democracy, right? And the way democracy is structured today, there's casualties to that, and what I mean is. The needs of many outweigh the needs of the few, to the extent that something like gay marriage, because more people seem like they were on board for it, it doesn't matter the ones that don't, you just got to roll with it.
That's right.
And I use that one specifically because there's been some African countries, some African leaders that have gone on record that say, hey, we don't want your democracy here. Because with that comes things like gay marriage and,
mm-hmm.
You know, let me not even get into the whole transgender thing. I mean, that's just the most common sense thing that should be like, you know, I mean, that's not, you don't identify with that. Like, that don't make any sense. You either have the anatomy of what makes you a man.
Right.
Or you have the anatomy of what makes you a woman. No matter how you feel about that, the way you were freaking made.
It's like that meme I saw. It was like, why are you upset that I'm not accepting you for who you are when you can accept yourself for who you are?
That's very hypocritical, right? You couldn't even accept yourself for who you were, and then you want to be something else. So that's what comes with democracy, right? So that's the voice of the enemy, right? Go ahead, read on.
For they cast iniquity.
No, because of the oppression.
Oh, because of the oppression of the wicked.
And it's telling you that all these things are forms of oppression. Democracy is oppression, all right? It's not just the trade policies. Their religion that comes with it is oppression,
mm-hmm.
all right? It's oppressive. Go ahead.
For they cast iniquity upon
me. Because sin comes with it. See, this is why you got to really break these scriptures down. You read over this and it sounds powerful, but, you know, look, there's a comma here. There's mm-hmm. a colon here. There's another comma. And it's letting you know, as you piece this all together, we just went over what the voice of the enemy is. We just went over that those things are oppression, all right? And it's telling you that that also leads to sin.
Right.
Their voice and their devices is oppression, and they cast it on you. This is what comes with it. This is the thing that comes with these acts, with these, you know, like I said, they pass a CARE Act, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that comes with it. With the package comes other things. Read on.
And in wrath, they hate me.
And it's done under the guise of love and trying to do something. We're going to come in and be pioneers for democracy. First of all, again, going back to what I said, who said democracy is the go-to? Who says that's the only way to govern and that's the right way to govern? Right. They do, of course, because it meets their agenda and all those that are confederate with them. And it's letting you know that all these things are wrathful. And it's the manifestation of their hate towards us. Everything they do towards us is not done in love. It's done in wrath and hatred and to better themselves. All right, so let me get into a little bit of what I have here. Actually, wait. Read on a few more verses in here in Psalms 55, and then I'm going to jump into this.
Yeah, I got something too. What you got?
Okay, well, read a little more on this, and then I'll let him
go to verse 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me.
Right, and the terrors of death, we're going to get on to that in one manifestation when I read this transcript from this interview about the U.S. policy. Again, you know, School of the Americas, and the death squads, you know, it happened with the Iran-Contra scandal and, you know, the Contras being supported in Nicaragua, the Panama deception when they wanted the Panama Canal, mm-hmm. and, you know, they went there, they used lasers on these people,
right.
experimental warfare and stuff like that. Go ahead, read.
Verse 5, fearfulness and trembling are upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me.
And, you know, they mentioned one thing in the transcript that I read. I think it's El Mozote or something like that. And it was like a massacre that happened that was pretty much sanctioned by a dictator that was in place and supported by the United States. You know, so much for democracy.
Right.
And there was a lot of terrors. You know, if you haven't watched the Harvest of Empire DVD, you know, I know it's not feasible for everybody to necessarily read the book. It's hard for me to read books with the time that I have. The DVD, you know, you can sit down for 90 minutes, 2 hours, and kind of get a good consensus of the type of things that they're talking about that happen under these policies, under the voice of the enemy. Go ahead, read on.
And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest.
And he says, and though I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away. And what you're seeing is, and the whole premise of the Harvest of Empire, is that the mass immigration from the Central and Latin American countries, from places like Puerto Rico, and again, you know, I've been pretty consistent topic-wise going over this stuff. So whatever I don't cover today, I'm always optimistic that I'm going to cover a lot of ground. But we're already mm-hmm. almost halfway through the show at this point, and I haven't even got into this.
That would be.
You know, it shows you what the trigger effect was for people to come here in large like that. It's not like people were like, oh, I love this place so much more than where I am. My home country is so shitty that I got to go somewhere else. It's a perfect storm that was created by the continual policies and policing by starting with the United States, right, going into these countries and creating an effect of destabilization. I mean, there's such a domino effect from their factories. Mm-hmm. Like there's excerpts here that I might read where it talks about, you know, the way they came in there under this free trade and with these factories, the trickle down effect was so bad that it created unsanitary conditions to the point where people now were suffering from, you know, diseases that were long eradicated. Like it's such a domino effect that happens. And at the end of the day, it was really just to kind of benefit them, right? And like I said, Lord's will, we'll get to all these different things. So I know sometimes it might come across as a little dry as I'm reading stuff from these books and whatever, but it's important that you put it in context and understand it and hold it near and dear into your mind, because it's very hard for our people. I've said this before. When you're eating crackers and now you can have cheese with your crackers.
Bring it out.
You think you're on the come up.
The cracker analogy, bring it out.
Right. No, it makes a difference, right? I mean,
no, it really does.
All you had is crackers and waters, and now I'm giving you cheese and maybe even three different types of cheese to throw mm-hmm. on your damn crackers. You feeling like this is better, right? Mm-hmm. If you were making $0 and you start making $5 an hour, you're like, yo, this is better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a little is given, and it just seems like the whole world is better.
That's why it says the gift destroyeth the heart. That's right.
Right. That's a good one, too. All right, read on a little bit more. Go ahead.
Verse 7, lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness? Salah.
Okay, wait, that was all I wanted.
Okay.
So, jump. Verse 10.
This is Psalms 55, verse 10. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it.
Going back to what I said, it creates this dynamic where their own place where they live It's full of mischief. It's full of deceit. This is what comes with democracy. You know, I spoke about the Sodom agenda with the transgender and other stuff, but there's a lot of other things that come with it. Gangs come to prominence. You have all these drug wars and different things like that. And, you know, it's not that that behavior is excusable by these actions, right? By no means is that right either, okay? But understand there are wicked amongst our people. Two-thirds a big number, mm-hmm. right? And two-thirds will be wicked and never repent. But you have to understand that this voice of the enemy, this oppression, this is all a result of this stuff, right? And he says, mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Go ahead.
Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets.
And that's what comes with democracy. That's what comes with the acceptance of these policies that's starting with the U.S. because they're the ones that broker and lead the majority of these policies
that's
coming
right.
in. You said you had something that you wanted to bring up?
Go to Psalms 10. And verse 7.
Oh, we just psalming it up today.
Psalming
Wait, but
man.
I thought Psalms was like for uplifting things. Like
right.
You read Psalms
Bro,
for...
Psalms is so heavy of a book, man. And David's constantly going in on the wicked.
Well, and it goes to show you that you can't just read even Psalms in isolation because really what David's speaking about here is how Saul was afflicting him.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I mean, when you understand when he talks about I was in the wilderness and this, that, and the other, all this different stuff, right? But there's double meaning in the scriptures, right?
That's right.
So these things were not written just for that time. They were written, remember, the scripture says things written aforetime were for our learning, for our hope and patience of the scriptures, for comfort, all right, for us to have today. So, you know, Psalms is heavy even in that because
yes.
you gotta analyze and assess the state of mind that David was in. And then, I mean, if you want to get deeper, just think about that. Like, those scriptures were meant to come to us today. Why is it so relevant to have so many Psalms published and maintained to only deal with how he was dealing with that time, with the situation that he was dealing with? That's not what it's for. The Most High had to put him in that state of mind so his spirit could come on him to write this thing. Remember, the mm-hmm. scripture says no man wrote this of his own will, all right, but as the Spirit of the Lord moved him,
that's right.
And then it was published.
Right.
And David didn't know that he was writing this for us today and that it would pertain to the type of things that we were going through as a people today,
mm-hmm.
but you better believe that's the case. I mean, listen, think about Psalms 147 where it talks about that it's only for
right.
Jacob.
Back
you know,
then, they knew that.
They knew that. So that proves my point because some people might be hearing what
yep.
I'm saying and they're like, no, that's see, no, it's only for that. You're admitting there's only for that. No.
Yep.
Then the scriptures are invalid then. Then it's a nice story for back then. You can't build your religion around it then. If you can't sit there and have the double-mindedness to say that was for then, but you still must apply this book today.
That's right.
It makes no damn sense.
Right.
Go ahead.
Psalms chapter 10, verse 7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud.
His, meaning Esau, the Caucasian race, chiefly him, it says his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Staying with what we're going into, his democracy, His politics, his religions that he pushes.
Right.
That's the deceit and the fraud coming under the guise of helping and saying, hey, listen, we're going to bring democracy and we're going to help you with this. But there's always an agenda behind it. Read on.
Under his tongue is mischief and vanity.
He's saying one thing openly, but behind closed scenes, under his tongue, there's mischief and vanity, iniquity. Read on.
He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor.
So he goes into these countries, right, with the secret agenda. It says to murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. The poor is referring to the Israelites, those that are in the conditions we're in because of our sin against God. But then they come in under the guise of democracy and spreading good to the world. But it said under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Read verse 9.
He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor.
So it says that he searches out iniquity. He accomplishes a diligent search. He doesn't do things overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Things are calculated and timed. Read on.
He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net.
So his net is going into his school systems. His net is going into his religions. His politics, his democracies.
Food stamps, Section 8.
Everything that we as a people see as a benefit but actually hinder us as a nation, that's the net that he used to draw us in with.
Mm.
Psalms is heavy, bro.
That's heavy.
It really is, man. Psalms really are heavy. All right, so let me get into this article a little bit because, you know, we're a little more than halfway done with
Bring it out.
Today's broadcast. So this is an article I have put in my reading list. You know, a lot of times I don't have time to read the whole thing or whatever, but I'm like, hey, that might be interesting to bring up. So I was telling him this morning, I was like, hey, I'm just going to go through my reading list here and see what I got here. And this is one of the first ones. I saved this back on February 14th, so about a month ago, but don't worry, it still makes sense. So the headline is Roberto Lovato, Elliot Abrams is bringing violence of 1980s U.S. Latin American policy to Venezuela. So, again, very recent, very recent. You're talking about the 80s when a lot of this stuff happened, the Contra War. Let me look this up so we can see. Iran-Contra. Boom, boom, boom. That was Iran-Contra. I want the Contras in. There we go. People say it was about drugs, all types of stuff. Okay. Just real quick, so you can understand what the Contras are, because they'll mention it in the article. They were actually active, according to this, from 1979 through 1990. All right. The ideology was anti-communism. Okay. Their motive was to overthrow the FSLN government of Nicaragua. So the Contras were the various U.S.-backed,
there it is,
and funded right-wing rebel groups that were active from 1979 to the early 1990s in opposition to the socialist Sandinista Junta of National Reconstruction government in Nicaragua. Among the separate Contra groups, the Nicaragua Democratic Force emerged as the largest by far. In 1987, virtually all Contra organizations were united, at least nominally, into the Nicaraguan resistance. During their war against the Nicaraguan government, the Contras committed a large number of human rights violations and used terrorist tactics. These actions were frequently carried out systematically as a part of the strategy of the Contras, and this was a U.S.-backed and funded group.
Mm-hmm.
Supporters of the Contras tried to downplay these violations, particularly the Reagan administration in the U.S., which engaged in a campaign of white propaganda to alter public opinion in favor of the Contras, while covertly encouraging the Contras to attack civilian targets. This is documented. The government has validated that this was the thing.
Yep.
Yet people are surprised when we bring things up that the government is doing. And they say, you guys are a bunch of conspiracy theorists and, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. From an early stage, the rebels received financial and military support from the United States government, and their military significance decisively depended on it. So meaning without that, they would have not been able to do the things that they did.
That's right.
After U.S.